I'm reading this morning from the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 4. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 4. And I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Mark 4, 35 to 4. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. There was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" What does Jesus mean when he says to his disciples in the boat, "You have no faith"? I assume the people in the boat were believers, the followers of Jesus. They're aware of the laws of Moses, the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath. They're aware of the promises of the coming Messiah. In fact, they believed that he was the one. So why would Jesus question the faith of Peter and John and others in the boat? Faith is not knowledge or understanding of the fundamentals of the religion or Christianity or the Bible or whichever beliefs we may have picked up on our spiritual journey. You may believe the 28 fundamentals or 22 or 14 or 4, or you may believe some different beliefs altogether. But whichever option you choose to believe, this is not faith. In the boat on the stormy sea, Jesus describes faith in terms of contrasting fear and faith. Fear against faith. Why are you afraid? How is it that you don't have faith? The disciples were in a very close proximity to Christ in the boat, physically, a few feet away maybe. But in terms of spiritual proximity, they're miles away from Christ because their confidence was placed elsewhere. Perhaps in the type of wood that the boat was made of, solid hardwood, or perhaps the thickness of the ropes they're trying to pull, perhaps their rowing skills as the fishermen, strong, skilled people. They tried it all, and when all the human attempts to save themselves failed, their confidence dropped to the bottom of the lake like a lead cannonball. And as the confidence was gone, the only thing left was fear. Fear of what may happen to them. Fear of what the future will bring. Only then, after trying out, exhausting all the human resources, only then, as a last resort, they remembered, "Oh yeah, he's right there in the boat with us." They remembered Christ and they turned to him. And in this specific situation, we can describe faith as confidence in God in moments of crisis. Confidence in God in moments of crisis. Faith does not become manifest in our Bible study discussions that we sit and talk. Faith does not become manifest while we sing songs of praise to God in our worship services. faith manifests itself, or lack of it, most clearly in the moments of crisis. And the lack of it is manifest through fear. Even Job, the book of Job, speaks of Job, who in his conduct appears to be blameless. Even he confesses that in his heart he has feared that certain things would happen to him. And very early in the book, Job chapter 3, verse 25, Job 3:25, this is what Job says: "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me." And some commentators don't know really what to make of this verse, because they can't believe that blameless Job did not have perfect confidence in God. But he was no different to Peter and John and the other disciples in the boat, fearing for their lives. I'm sure, as the scripture claims, his external conduct was blameless, but only God knows what's in the heart. He was on a journey like the rest of us. And reading this text, Job 3:25, in retrospect, from the time when Christ was revealed, we could probably hear Christ telling Job also, "Why are you afraid? Have you not faith? Don't you have faith?" Like he said it to Peter and John in the boat. So bringing sacrifices to God, like Job did, discussing things, Bible discussions, knowing things, understanding things, singing things, none of these is faith, even though it may appear to be so externally on the outside. True, genuine faith moves our confidence away from all the earthly things, away from people and away from self, towards God in heaven. It brings our confidence into the intimate proximity and closeness to God. So much so that when we face crisis, or we are in a situation where we fear for our lives, where we fear the future, and ultimately we fear the loss of self, faith will be victorious over fear and will not allow the fear to overcome us, even though we still feel the fear. And when we are put under pressure, all kinds of feelings come out of us. And all the faith characters of the Bible, they had their moments of crisis, didn't they? And things happened to them. They did silly things and they said silly things. When we are placed under pressure. Of course, we are not Vulcans. We are not robots. We cannot not feel. And the feelings of fear, feelings of anger, all kinds of feelings come up in crisis situations. But through faith, though we still feel these feelings, through faith we can overcome fear rather than allow the fear to overcome us. And the two, I suppose, most prominent writers in the New Testament, Apostle Paul and the Apostle John, they've written more than anybody else in the New Testament. They both agree perfectly that faith is the only thing that can get us out of here, out of this dangerous place, this world. Both the Apostle John and the Apostle Paul describe faith in terms of conflict, war, and victory. So Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 to 8, 2 Timothy 4, 7 to 8, Paul says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Why is Paul saying that he has finished the race? Where has he arrived to? Not in a very good place. because he was writing from prison and he was condemned to be executed. He is condemned to death, expecting his execution to take place very soon. So key words in his statement are fought, fight, and faith. I have fought a good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. He describes faith in terms of conflict and war. And his victory is evident as while facing death, facing the loss of self, he has chosen to trust in God unreservedly. So by keeping the faith until the end, he has achieved the victory. John, Apostle John, he agrees by saying that the only thing that can overcome and get us out of this dangerous world is faith. In the first epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 4, 1 John 5, 4, John says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Not spotless performance, but faith is our victory. As in the same epistle, John says at the very beginning, whoever says that, if we say that we have no sin, we are liars. So not spotless performance, but faith is our victory. So the basis of victory for both Paul and John is faith, or the unshakable confidence in God in the face of crisis, even death or loss of self ultimately. And John expands on this whole idea of overcoming in the book of Revelation. He uses this term a lot. But just one text, Revelation 12:11. It says, "And they overcame him," that would be the devil, "they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." To the death. In the face of crisis, death, loss of self. So, if you want to understand what John means by overcoming in the book of Revelation, you read another one of his books. His first epistle, where he clearly says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So, Job, Peter, John, Paul, they were ordinary people like you and me. They were not like Jesus. They were not sinless. They were like you and me. And we all journey through this life facing similar experiences. Not in magnitude, in principle, we face similar experiences. We are all soldiers in the war. Not by choice, we are conscripted. That's what you have to do. On the battlefield, you're stuck in a battlefield, fighting to keep the faith until the end. In times of crisis, we can feel the conflict and the war raging in our hearts. As sometimes in our lives, when we look at ourselves and around us, we have to fight very hard not to lose the faith, but to keep the faith. At least in these moments, we know where we stand. We do know where we stand. It may not feel like a fight or conflict in good days, when everything seems to go well, but do not be deceived. It may be even harder to keep the faith when all things seem well. If all seems well, and this world seems to meet all of our, I suppose, mainly material needs, we will inevitably develop a pattern of living where our confidence is moving away from God in heaven towards all the earthly things in this world that offer us support. And I suppose the entire Western world is in this condition where people say something like, and rich and are in need of nothing, take it to its logical conclusion, the bottom line, even not even God is needed. Sometimes crisis can bring our faith back to life. And sometimes God is able to bring something good even out of evil situations. Remember when the war began in former Yugoslavia, I'm sure you saw a lot of bad news on TV and media. As for myself, in the midst of the bad news, I encountered good news. And I severely suspect that if there was no war and crisis, I myself would not seek God. I would not become a believer and would not be here today. I know that the same thing happened to thousands of young people in a similar situation. Christ gave us one of the definitions of faith when he was in the boat with his disciples on a stormy sea. Faith is confidence in God in the moments of crisis. It is a complete reliance on God in the times when we may fear the future. Only faith can overcome fear. And as John says, faith is that victory which overcomes the world. Thank you.